Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast, number 31. 31, yes.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. It's like Baskin-Robbins. That's how many flavors of ice cream they have.
How many flavors of Highfalutin can you get?
Dave Winfield, number 31 in the Yankees.
Boom. You're good with this.
Rolling with it. 31 days in October, Halloween.
I grew up on my house number's 31, so.
31, damn. Yeah, so it is your lovely hosts again, Brian and Mario. What's going on, Mario?
What's up?
Yes, so thank you guys again for listening. You can check out more information on us at skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on iTunes there, and please subscribe and rate us if you will. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, and Twitter, @skibumpodcast. So, Mario, what do we got today for a topic?
So today, you know, with the cold weather patterns moving in, it's definitely time to start getting ready for the ski season. Many of us snow-loving fools focus on recycling, repurposing, and sharing. So, like, we're into this whole kind of, you know, way of living. And it's a perfect time of year to look into hitting, ready for it, local ski swap.
Local ski swaps.
So that's what we're talking about today. And we're going to talk about what a great experience it can be.
Yeah, you had some actual experience this past weekend checking one out, so we'll get into some more deets later on. But first, that's right, everybody.
What does that mean, Brian?
Oh, I think that means it's time for some weekly flavor. Yes, so weekly flavor this week. Now, this is another special one. We actually should have had the special weekly flavor music for this one that we had for the Heady Topper, because this is kind of in the same boat as the Heady Topper. We are sipping on some of Lawson's finest liquids.
How about this one? Oh, yeah.
Sip of Sunshine IPA. This is one of those special kind of beers. And we've talked about it before, how we had our little incident trying to get Heady Topper last winter. We were... You know, we were going up to the Hunger Mountain Co-op in Vermont.
And we thought that was hard to get.
We thought we were going, like, you know, it opened at 9. We're getting there at 9:20. No problem. We'll get our case of Heady Topper. Wrong.
It was a run.
You got to be there in line before the place opens.
It was Hurricane Katrina. I've heard it described as a Hurricane Katrina of Heady Topper.
People running out of the stores with their cases of Heady Topper. So this sip of sunshine, they sell that at the same co-op. So Heady Topper, you can get a whole case. Awesome.
Nice.
Sip of Sunshine, maximum 4-pack per person.
Boom. We found something more rare than Heady Topper. And so I may bitch about this. Well, actually, we have this, so I might not bitch about it.
And for this, we have a connection.
We have a connection.
Because being all highfalutin, we know people who know people.
We have a Sip of Sunshine mule.
We have a Sip of Sunshine mule. Actually, we got two of them.
We're all to Narcos. Awesome. We got mules. We got, you know.
Beer coast.
That's right.
So yeah, this is a lovely IPA. It's a humdinger at 8%, but it's super smooth, really
good.
It
doesn't taste like a humdinger.
It really doesn't. It's so smooth, right?
It's got a really, like, when we were tasting it, I was like, it's got a really cool aftertaste. Like, it hits you with, like, a multi-tiered aftertaste, a little bit sweet, and it levels off, smoothens out into, like, just sunshine. It's like the residual sunshine.
And it has that really nice, like, citrusy, hoppy kind of smell when you just, like...
Yeah.
Like, bury your nose in there. Oh, it's so good.
It's like a
so
hop.
So good.
I would put this as a hop-forward beer with a taste of Skittles and a finish of sunshine. I don't know how to explain it.
Do you taste it? Is there a hint of charred bacon, perhaps, in there?
It's really good.
And, like, maybe a very minute bit of caramel?
Let me see.
Is there pine? Is there notes of pine?
Is it cedar? Is it pine?
Yeah, so if you guys, if you have the opportunity, check it out. Lawson's Finest Liquids Sip of Sunshine IPA. It is delicious.
And this is the trade bait we were talking about. So if you're into barter, trade, you know, beer trade, this is the one you want to get.
This is one of the ones people trade for.
Yes.
This is one of, like, the holy grails.
It's like having the condo in Hawaii that you could trade off for any condo anywhere in the world. This is that beer.
You're getting Galveston, Texas, if you got the Hawaii condo. Right. You can make that work out for you.
That's where you want.
Yeah, Sip of Sunshine. Awesome stuff.
SOS. We'll call it SOS.
SOS.
I got an SOS out there.
I was thinking before, you know, we talked about, I think, the UKEG at one point, that fancy growler with the CO2 cartridges to keep things fresh. How awesome would it be to have a nice growler full of this stuff?
Oh, wait. You looked at that place. They have it on tap?
Or is they, it camps? Yeah, you know what? It didn't actually say
one way so much or harder the other. To find.
The Worthy Kitchen up in Woodstock, Vermont.
I put that on our list for Ski Bum Week. That yes. might be a Ski Bum.
And we're starting to plan our Ski Bum Week.
We have you know a what? Good Ski Bum Week planned right now. Like, I think we got, like, the workings going.
We're starting to get it worked out. It's going to be in December. And you know what? If you guys want to meet up and have a beer with us, you know, we're going to put out the word as it gets closer.
I could start up a meetup if you want.
We could do a meetup.
We'll do a meetup up in Vermont when we're going to be certain places.
Yeah, so you can meet up. We can chat. We can talk shop. And, yeah, you guys can get the bum experience with us, which would be really cool. So I'd love to hang out with you guys, have a drink, and chat.
I want to look into that. Ski Bum Meetups.
Yeah.
It's going to be new coming to your area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wherever we travel, wherever we go, a ski bum will be there, shining the light on snow.
There you go.
It's like a Batman-ish kind of thing, right?
I like it. So, yeah, so we got a couple follow-ups from last week. Actually, just one follow-up. So last week we were talking about, you know, putting the word out, getting families and friends going on ski trips. And one thing we forgot to mention that the lovely Green Mountain State of Vermont, they have a special passport plan for fifth grade students where you can get this pass for $11. And with that $11 pass, you can get, I guess it's three passes at
all these ski areas.
At all these Vermont ski areas. I mean, it lists all of them.
The way it sounded, it was three ski passes and one to three ski Nordic passes. So if you want to do cross country at the same place at all these areas, which... with blackout dates, but it's great.
I mean, and the blackout dates are the normal ones, you know, Christmas week, MLK weekend, President's weekend. So it's really just those, you know, not even 3 weeks, really, 2.5 weeks total. And it's, you know, all the big Vermont resorts, you know, Killington, Stowe.
If I could fake my age, Chemo. This would be the perfect pass for me.
You know, you look like maybe a sixth grader if you shave.
If I shave really close.
Yeah. Get some like a little Justin Bieber haircut. I think you can pull off the fifth grader.
Your little beanie hat, a little thing or something. I don't know.
I think you could pull it off.
Suspenders, like little kid thing. Maybe school books.
Yeah. So yeah, if you got a fifth grader, check that out. You can get some really great deals and have a great time skiing. There's a bunch of testimonials and like we said, tons of I think just about every ski resort in Vermont.
Yeah, it was a huge list. It was great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Way to go, Green Mountain.
Yeah, doing it right in Vermont.
All right, we got some ski news now.
Ski news.
So, Brian, I'll let you lead with this because I have to follow.
Why, thank you. So, NASA scientist is saying that El Nino is too big to fail. That's right. We're all talking about El Nino, this monster. Now, I keep seeing different reports as to what it's going to mean for us on the East Coast here. And, you know, some people are saying it's going to be a lot wetter. Some people are saying it's going to be drier because of it. I still don't quite understand what El Nino is going to produce for the East Coast.
Well, I think if they could say it was El Nino, it would meet a certain, like, wetter, like, more snow kind of thing.
But I think that's for the West Coast particularly. Because this report that talks about the too big to fail is saying that it's going to be a 60% chance of wetter weather in Southern California and then a 40% chance of wetter weather in Northern California.
California,
because that's where the El Nino all kind of takes place in
that's
the Pacific.
That's where it hits land, yeah.
Right.
And then it just messes up the changes all the weather patterns here.
Yeah, because they were saying it was going to be, it could be like a rough year for parts of Colorado, but, you know, again, I'm not smart enough, and I've seen too many different reports to really know what it means for the East Coast and the Rockies.
And it's weird because they say it's just a higher probability of getting a probability. So it's just like, it's just strange.
Yeah, so I really don't quite understand that, but it is going to be hitting, you know, definitely on the West Coast. So, hey, if you can get out to Tahoe or Mammoth, this could be the year to do it because they've had, you know, we've talked about what a lousy last couple years they had. This could be the
time to go. Especially if they get an El Nino out there.
That's right.
That little baby's coming out.
We're going. And there was a kind of related story talking about. The colder weather is really kind of smacking shut up. I don't want this shitty Chevy.
Oh, I thought that was my phone. I was like, what the fuck?
They're trying to sell some shitty, the Weather Channel. You got too many ads. Just show me the weather.
Oh, that's a whole other show.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. But they're talking about in this particular story how it's going to get really cold this weekend in the Northeast.
Yeah.
And
it's like a double whammy. The weather pattern changed. Cold weather's moving in. And what do you have? Canada's coming to the rescue with a little Canadian weather coming down.
Blame Canada. Thank Canada.
Thank you, Canada.
Thank you, Canada. A.
A. That's right.
Thanks, buddy. Now, in kind of a related topic, we just saw, we're breaking news here, about 2 hours ago, Killington, Vermont, announced opening day will be Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Bring out your sticks, because it is time to do some skiing. That is, of course, if you are a season ticket holder, you can start to ski at Killington on Sunday. The normal public, the commoners, you can start on Monday. That's right.
If you want to walk, you're right there.
Can you believe that? October 18th. It is opening up.
It's not winter is coming. Winter is here. That's right.
Oh, it's a nip in the air.
I just told Brian, I said, I've watched Game of Thrones. Now I'm reading the books, like going back because I can't get enough Game of Thrones. And the common theme, winter's coming.
Yeah. And now we were actually going to report that Vermont's opening dates. Killington was supposed to open November the 3rd. You know what I think what happened? Yesterday, Sunday River up in Maine announced they were going to open Monday.
It's like a card game. They're all waiting to see who goes first.
The river fucked me. You know?
That's right.
The flop came out.
The flop. You know,
Sunday River's like, we're gonna open up on Monday. Killington's like, blah, blah, we're opening Sunday. What do you think about that?
You like that?
Yeah.
Do you call? Do you raise? What do you do?
It's like a casino royale.
Yeah. So you know? I believe this is a
straight flush for Killington.
I believe Killington checked, or did they go over the top?
They went over the top, straight flush.
They went all in. All in.
So the guns are blazing up in Killington, and
it's got to be a gun show. Welcome to the gun show.
That's right.
That's right.
So yeah, they're going to be doing a little bit of skiing up there on Sunday. I don't know when we're going to head up there. We're going to probably work that out over the next few weeks.
We'll just get in the car on like Wednesday and go up.
Yeah, we've talked about it, though. Could you imagine just, like, blowing out your knee?
No.
I should imagine ski in October?
Getting a great October ski day and being like, it was fucking baller.
Yeah, if we can get a day in, that would be pretty
special.
And
get some Hetty Topper at the same time. Be like, how you like that, bitches?
Oh, yeah.
And some Sip of Sunshine. I'm going to go for the hat trick.
I'm going
for the boom, all three.
And you know what? That's the problem.
Ski, Topper, Sunshine, and I don't know. I think I might stop at Whistlepig, too.
That's the problem with being as highfalutin as we are, is that we've raised the bar so high that normalcy, Mountain Creek, Coors Light, it just doesn't cut it. It's just not acceptable, you know?
It cuts it once in a while.
No, it doesn't. It's fucking amateur hours, what it is. It's just not cutting it.
Once in a while, you got to get something.
We're like crackheads now. You know, you got to keep going. Get that next one. Get that next bump. It's going to be better than the first one.
Man. Man, I will do something.
I will wax your skis, son.
I will wax your skis for a lift ticket.
I will wax your skis for a lift ticket. I'm tweaking here.
Wow.
All right.
Woo. All right.
What do we got?
So now we had a trailer that we saw after the sky falls.
Yes.
And we had a great... So, like we said, we got to like tape one of these times or like periscope it. Before we do the show, because it's like 2 hours of hanging out. We watched.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really is like Christmas Eve every time we do this podcast. We're like just like spazzes, like running around. Look at this. Look at this. Watch this. Check this out. Look at this. Check this out. We're just like these little crazy
sometimes
like 5-year-olds.
Do shots, email people.
Viking blood. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we actually watched the new TGR movie, Paradise Waits, which just came out on Tuesday.
Awesome.
And those guys, like TGR, you guys are, I mean, obviously you know that, but they're fantastic. They do an amazing job. It was cool the way they did it. They talked about, you know, how sometimes the weather is, you know, you get the lousy conditions. It's not what you want. But when you get those special days, it's just that much better because you've kind of persevered through the lousy crap. And they had a bunch of cool scenes in Boston because, you know, as you remember, Boston got just slammed this past winter. And they had a bunch of really cool, like, urban, you know, kind of like ski.
Dudes are like skiing on the sidewalks.
Jumping off parking decks.
The parking deck was insane. It was like a 4-story parking deck that dude's jumping off. Can you imagine going out for your car? You're like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I'm just trying to watch a Sox game and all of a sudden this queer's jumping off the deck here. You know, it was
crazy.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. But so we watched that. Then we watched this trailer, and it was like, I want to go fucking skiing. And then we find out Killington's open, and Mad River, like, we're like, we're going skiing in the next 2 weeks.
And they were showing, you know, up in Alaska, the heli-skiing.
Oh.
I mean, that was just unbelievable. I mean, it was...
Who was the girl? April?
Angel Collison.
Angel Collison. Freaking ripping.
Her brother,
down.
Johnny. And then Sage, of course, who's always freaking destroying it. And, yeah, they were
ripping down that mountain.
They were in Alaska. They did a piece in Kosovo, which was really cool. They did one part in Greece, which
is pretty neat.
They even talked about
it.
They're like, you know, whoever said they went skiing in Greece.
Even Kosovo, I was like, I knew it was kind of near the mountain. I didn't know it was that, like, my geography sucks, so.
Yeah. And they did Revelstoke. They did a bit in there. And
Alaska was fucking great.
The Alaska looked unreal.
Steep and just...
You can't even describe it. And the way they film everything, too, is just so beautiful. You know, their cinematography is second to none.
Yeah, music was great. It was an awesome time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did that before the that was part of our pre-warm-up ritual. I mean, we'll do shit every time.
And now all these movies coming out, it's, you know, the Whistler Blackcomb 50th anniversary movie's out. You can watch it online. Next week, is it 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out? Warren Miller.
Chasing Shadows.
Chasing Shadows in Morristown. We will be there.
So
TGR set the bar. Now we're going to see what's Warren Miller going to do. Are they going to clear that bar?
Well, the good part of it, so, you know, I reached out again to our friends over at Warren Miller. And I was like, oh, you know, looking forward to it. Heard, you know, it's coming close and everything. And Jesse from Warren Miller replied. She's like, just dropped your tickets in the mail.
Shout out to Jesse. Thank you so much.
Shout out.
We really appreciate it.
We're going to be in Morristown, so I am going to put a meetup out. We can combine that with the ski club.
Yeah, if they're around.
So.
Yeah, November 6th, if you guys are around.
It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that movie. I love all the Warren Miller movies. The TGR movie was great. Got me all primed up and set. It was awesome. These trailers got me. But Warren Miller, I just always like the...
I love those Warren. Yeah, they're all so classic.
It's like the attitude they take with the movie is, like, really cool.
It's all just... you can tell it all comes from a place of love. Like, they really just are so into skiing. They're so into everything about it. And that always transcends in the way they, you know, kind of tell their stories, which is great.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll be there. So...
Yes, November 6th, 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting so close. Everything's happening. Like... We kind of talked about it. You know, you start thinking about it in September and, oh, it's almost time. And then all of a sudden, October, things just start falling into place so fast.
Yeah. Well, I tweeted out there was an interview with the guy that works for, what the hell, which company? But I tweeted out that interview with the guy that makes skis all summer and then just skis all winter.
Oh, Forefront.
He works for Forefront.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And it was a really cool article. I tell you, you read it, you're just like, this is freaking, that's the life, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, here he works his ass off all summer. He's like, you know what?
Thane Rich.
Thane Rich. He's like, he brings 3 shirts to work in the summer because there's no AC in the warehouse where he's working, and you're just sweating through shirts. So he's like, you know, you do that all summer, and then in the winter, he disappears, and he's like skiing all over the place, and he said he takes such pride in the skis that he makes. It's a pretty interesting article. I like to see that.
Yeah, the article is from Powder Magazine, and it talks about how, you know, he's 23 years old, and he churns out about 12 to 17 pairs a day.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a lot of craftsmanship that goes into that.
Yeah,
you know, think about it. That takes you about a half an hour a ski. Well, for a pair of skis, so 15 minutes a ski.
17 a day, man.
That's maxed out. And, I mean, the pictures they have, too. He's got a picture of him skiing in Kashmir, India.
Yeah.
I mean.
That was his treat, he said. His big treat was going to India. I was like, wow.
That is really, really cool, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot coming. And I tell you, you go out for, you know, everybody's feeling it now. The sun's setting a little bit earlier. You go out to your car in the morning, and it's dark, and it's freaking cold. And you got to maybe wear a jacket now. It's like getting to that crisp point where you're just like, I smell winter is right on the doorstep.
That's true.
Getting ready. Ski swaps are happening. Ski sales are happening. It's all happening.
Yep. So yeah, so After the Sky Falls was a great trailer too. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and the next thing you have is really, I like it.
Yeah, so Ski.com put out an article about Jackson Hole, the First Timer's Guide. Now, we've talked about it a couple times already on the podcast. We are going to probably do our big trip out to Jackson Hole in February.
We set our sights on it. This is where we're trying to go this year.
Yes, this is our goal to get out there. And it's the 50th anniversary, so it's a big deal to get out there this year. Oh, and also in that TGR movie being based out of Jackson, of course they showed some great footage of Jackson Hole. So this is cool because it kind of showed it, you know, if you're there, what are places you got to go to, places to check out, things to do, check out the new lift, drop into Corbett's, you know, all the big important things. I'm looking at Corbett's right now and I'm getting goosebumps because I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast last time. So a couple weeks ago, I did my first ever half marathon. And this half marathon, which was not described in the little brochure, was mostly trails and so off-road dirt trails. And, you know, there's certain parts of the run where you kind of have to find your own motivation to keep plowing through. Music's great, but you kind of need something to push yourself. And all I kept thinking to myself is, Corbett's. Corbett's is coming. You got to prepare for Corbett's. Plow through this. Jump through this. Run through this. You know, like, nice. Get yourself fired up for it. So, you know, they show the pictures of it, and it's just so sick and beautiful and perfect. And
one of the things I like about this this article is they actually say on your rest day, you're in fucking Yellowstone Park, man. How often, like, it's beautiful. Like, I've heard so much about it. Like, you're there. Like, you could take a tour, like a safari-type tour, and go see, like, all this stuff in Yellowstone Park. I'm like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, you know, 90 minutes from, you know, Grand Teton National Park, which is great. I mean, so I'm thinking that might be, you know, when you're out there, that'd be great to extend the trip.
Yeah.
Do, like, an extra 2 days and just do, like, the national park.
So awesome.
Do, like, snowmobile tour. Ride around snowmobiles and check out all the stuff. Yeah. So we're gonna have to start planning once we secure that, finalize that trip. So
yeah, they also talk about hiring a guide and doing a side country terrain tour.
Nice.
So a lot of really fun stuff. So, you know, as our date gets closer to making that happen, we'll, you know, probably keep doing more research, post more information, and if you guys have any tips, please hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know when you went, if there's any, you know, tips for restaurants, bars, trails, you know, tour guides, anything, please hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of ads too. Like, this is like their 50th anniversary, making a big push, marketing push. But I tell you, so many people that have been there that I've known that have gone there say it's you got to go there. It's
like, yeah,
a great place to go.
Someone just named it the number one ski town in North America.
Was that you?
No, because I would have named Telluride.
Oh.
Because they have a little legalized weed there, perhaps, allegedly, too, which I think that puts it over the edge.
Yeah.
I think Colorado is an unfair advantage because of that.
So you just fly into Colorado, hang out in the airport for like 2 days, and then fly
back. They don't sell weed in the airport.
No, you just leave and then come back. You just sleep in the airport.
Just sleep in the airport.
Smoke your weed in the airport.
Like a gentleman.
In the parking lot, because you can't get past security.
You know when you go to like lousy airports, they have like that smoking room? I think Florida, like every Florida airport has to have
Vegas,
that.
Vegas has that fishbowl.
Vegas, yes.
It's like the slot machines and it's filled with smoke.
Just the cancer room.
People just like playing in there. It's like, are you coming or going? Like if you're coming, that's pretty messed up. Like,
one
you
of can't these wait. Days I'm going to hit that Keno.
I actually hit for about 90 bucks leaving. Like I played like 10 bucks. I hit for like 90 and I was like, wow, this is a great trip. I just, yeah.
I love it in Las Vegas.
You have a little extra like, quote-unquote spending money.
Yeah.
Why not dump it in the machine there, you know?
One of my favorite things in Vegas is how they have, slot machines in the grocery store.
Oh, dude, I saw one time there's a lady, and on the top of her cart, she had the bag with the ice cream in it, and she's sitting there for, like, a half hour just playing this slot machine.
And it's only 110 degrees, so the ice cream's fine.
I was just like, what are you doing, man? There's, like, eggs. There's, like, all this shit that's going to spoil. But you're playing the extra $10 or $5 or whatever. And it was pretty bad.
There's something very wrong with that town.
But you just mentioned smoking. And I started laughing because we had lunch with one of our buddies to not be named. he had a story about how he...
And it came out of the blue. Like, he didn't even, like, there was no sort of intro. There was no sort of...
How just, he's like, you know, I smoked crack by accident once. I'm like, what the... How do you smoke it by accident?
How do you smoke crack by accident?
He said, this goes back to Denver. He said he's in Denver, and he's with a buddy. And they go, like, hey, you know, let's buy some, you know...
They were trying to buy hash.
Recreational marijuana.
No, they said they wanted to buy hash.
Oh, so this...
Different time, different era.
Reputable dealer told him... On the corner,
he had a solid Yelp score.
Yeah,
you know,
good Yelp score,
legit,
good reviews. And the guy told him, "Was like, yeah, this is rock." He's like, "Yeah, rock on, man. Let's get this thing." So his buddy smokes the, you know, they roll a joint. His buddy smokes it. And it's like, woo!
I don't think they rolled a crack joint. They just friggin' lit it up.
Whatever they did,
he put it on a needle.
Oh, that's right. It was hash. And whatever it was, and his buddy runs down the street like a freight train. He's this big dude. He's like, holy crap, this must be great. So he smokes himself. He's like, felt like he was gonna die, but it was like a rush, and he's like running down. He's like, holy crap. So they go back to the dealer, and like, what the hell was in there? He's like, man, there was crack in that. I told you it was rocked. Like, all right,
I kind of lost that in translation, apparently.
I think he might have asked for a refund at that point.
Yes, you know, yes.
To keep his
Well, because Yelp the customer review. Is always right.
Well, because they bought it technically through eBay, so it was in limbo. It was in, you know...
Oh, they set up a... they went to PayPal.
And they did a PayPal, and they
filed a complaint.
Filed a complaint. So that was a pretty interesting story, I tell you.
The man who accidentally smoked crack.
By accident.
By accident, yeah.
Yeah, that's a first. I think Bobby Brown would say the same.
What happened was...
That's right. I smoked it by accident, man.
Yeah. All right. So we got, I think, one other story. Well, there's two, technically. And we were going to talk about the Vermont ski resorts opening dates. But you know what? They're all gone anyway. Everything is all compromised. Killington said November 3rd. They're opening on Sunday the 10th or the 18th.
So they're all changing. They're all going to change the schedules.
So I don't even know how legit these dates are.
Well played, Killington.
Everything, they're pushing everybody up. They're making everyone else step their game up.
Hey, they got they got a World Cup event they're going to host next year in November. They might as well be able to market that they opened in October this year.
I don't see a whole lot of Colorado resorts open yet.
Oh,
what you got? Rocky Mountain High
in your face.
Vermont, Green Mountain State. Yeah, yeah. All right. So next up,
Mountain Creek. Shrimp Creek.
All right, so this is from our pals over at ski.curb.com. Russia builds highest lift in terrorist-plagued area.
This is actually from Vladimir Putin, because he made this happen.
Yeah, so in case you haven't noticed, too, we've got a little fascination with Vladimir Putin. Pretty much Vladimir Putin and Hetty Topper are our little...
Yeah.
But our muses, our bugaboos.
So it's a love-hate, so we love Hetty Topper. Don't love Vladimir Putin.
Well, it's not.
But we're interested.
It's not a love or a hate thing with Putin. It's just
an interest.
Wow, you know, it's just it's a bizarre respect.
Proof that a undercover dictator can get away with a lot.
It's crazy. So they're
kind of like how Alchemist Brewery is dictating how much Hetty Topper you can get.
Pretty much.
Why gonna be like Putin, Alchemist? I'm calling you out now.
Ipso facto. So this new gondola is being built on Russia's Northern Caucasus Resort. It's going to be Europe's highest aerial lift, reaching 12,621 feet. Built on the side of the 18,510-foot dormant volcano of Mount Elbrus, the gondola will have 7 feet on Mont Blanc's Aiguille du Midi tram in Chamonix. So it's part of a $15 million project to draw tourism that has been plagued by terrorism.
See, the problem is you got to clean up the terrorism before people want to go there.
Yeah, in 2011, a terminal of the lift at the nearby resort was bombed.
See, that's not good. I don't want to be on a lift and get bombed.
No, not at 11,000 feet.
Then again, if it's a powder day, I might be there.
Yeah, that's kind
of
true.
And there's not a lot of people. I might be compelled to be there.
Yeah, so this area has actually been a victim of terrorist attacks, and they're building the world or the Europe's largest, tallest lift there.
If
so
Putin can guarantee fresh powder like Japan has, that would be great.
Vapooter.
Japow. I want to see Japow in Russia.
It's pooter. It's not powder. It's like special pooter. Putin.
It's pooter.
Putin powder. It's pooter.
Pooter. That sounds perverse.
It is rather perverse.
He pootered somewhere.
Yeah.
He pootered on that lift. I don't know.
Yeah. So if it's good enough for Vladimir, it's good enough for us.
Hey, man that can score like, you know, 18
Six goals.
No, I heard it was 18 this week.
It probably was.
It keeps going up.
There is the Putin multiplier, yeah.
The multiplier.
All right. So that covers our ski news for the week. So topic.
So let's move into the topic. Swap Mario. It like it's hot.
Swap it like it's hot.
Swap it like it's hot. So a few questions come up.
Yes.
Like,
Mario, what is a ski swap?
Okay. So a ski swap's a gathering. It's usually a communal type of gathering. You trade, buy, sell New Year's skis or boards, any winter equipment. And it really depends on the swap. So a ski swap is almost like, I can equate it to picture an organized community garage sale for everything winter wonderful, right? Now, some of the swaps will limit like what you can sell. So they're like, well, no socks, no hats, no scarves, which is the one that I went to recently. Some of them will allow that. So it's like, it's weird, like different. Some of them will allow like, you know, parts for snowmobiles, trailers, snow bikes, like some of them won't. So it depends on the swap. So it's kind of cool to see what's out there. Usually they're organized by a ski group or ski shop. There's some rules, so check ahead of time. There's usually a registration process of some sort. Sometimes it costs you a little money, sometimes it doesn't. And then there's just rules of buying or swapping, and the rules are, there are no rules. It's like Thunderdome. You go in there and you freaking box people out. It's like Black Friday.
Black Friday.
It is crazy.
So I'm just, based on the one that you went to this past week, that was at our friends Hino's.
Yeah, Hino's.
In Aquanic. Big up to Hino's. We love you guys.
Big up.
So you would bring, so say you had a couple old pairs of boots, old skis, you'd bring them to the shop the day before or whatever.
Yes. So they had a thing on their ad, like part of their thing was bring your stuff ahead of time. You pay $1 for a tag. They tag it. They try to help you with pricing, which is nice. They're there to you know, they look it over. They say, well, you know, this is about what you should.
They have the experience, the knowledge to what you can, yeah, roughly right. would get for that.
And they don't get anything out of it. All they get is like, they might get a percentage, like a 10% or 20% or 5%. A VIG, right, because they're having it at their shop.
Yeah.
Their draw is in, other people are going to float into the shop and they'll make other stuff. But it's kind of, they really do it out of like, hey, you know, let's help out everybody else that wants to ski and promote skiing. I mean, they're all about that, which is good to see. But yeah, so you bring your stuff in. And then they also have, once the swap starts, they actually still accept people bringing stuff in. So if you didn't make it, you could still bring your stuff in. You're just going to miss that initial, you know, Black Friday.
That initial frenzy, yeah.
And I tell you what, I have video of it. We could maybe post that on the website of the when everybody came in, and there was like three or four people that ran to the ski poles,
mm-hmm.
and I guess they had racing ski poles in there, and a lot of racing ski poles. Somebody, I think the shop got stuff that they didn't want, or somebody that had a ski team or would like put stuff in there. Somebody went in and grabbed like, you know, 8 pair of poles and was walking out. I was like, what the hell's going on? It was just the weirdest thing. And then people running over by the skis, of course, right away. And then tons of people trying on boots because, you know, especially kids.
You can't just grab them and buy them like you would poles.
Right. And they had chairs set up, so they did a nice job of setup. But I tell you what, I was looking. I was like, you know, I wouldn't buy necessarily. It depends. If I was just starting out, maybe. But a lot of kids were jumping in there. And I'm like, well, if you're a kid, you're growing so fast. You're going to keep outgrowing all this stuff. So it's kind of like a ski swap is perfect for you.
Yeah.
And we had a buddy, our buddy John. He went with his daughter, bought all her ski stuff there.
IRA John.
IRA John. bought all of her stuff for less than it would cost to rent.
Wow.
And she has the potential to either sell it next year again for maybe, you know, $10 or whatever. But, you know, maybe she keeps it for 2 years. Maybe she hates it and doesn't ever want to see it. And he brings all the stuff back. But
yeah,
it was kind of cool. So, I've been to a few swaps. You, Brian, swap virgin?
I have not been to a swap.
Wow. So, there's a few benefits of the swap, and I think you could see them, right? So, you can really get some really high-quality equipment for less than you would normally pay. Maybe slightly used, because, you know, if somebody's a decent skier, they're not going to beat up on their stuff too much. So, and there's stuff you can repair. So it depends on what's there. You also have the ability, it depends what you're looking for. So if you're looking for new equipment, you might find it. Kind of like people have a treadmill or fitness bike that they never use, and then they bring it to the swap to just get rid of it, because you're not going to sell it anywhere else unless you do Craigslist or whatever. If you don't want to do the computer stuff, now you can actually see it. It's just like an easier format to sell. Lightly used, so if you don't mind having something lightly used, get some high-quality stuff or just some normal stuff that you can use. Old for specific use. So now, let's say you're going to do pond skimming for the first time. You might not want to use the skis that you have, so you go to the swap, you get a really cheap pair of skis, really old that nobody wants, and use those for pond skimming, or rock skis, or, you know, kind of anything. Or you have for other purpose, which are shot skis, making furniture. Like, there's a lot of other uses people have for skis and boards, which is legitimate. You can go to these ski swaps and get something that you want, you know?
Yeah, I really want an Adirondack chair made of skis.
Ah, see? You could have gone to the swap, try to find some cheap skis.
Cheapest ass skis you can find.
Yeah, and you're going to cut them, you're going to do all sorts of stuff to them. So I actually heard of so Derek from High Nose was telling me there was a resort that was going to open up. It was a resort or a restaurant? I forgot what it was, but it was like basically they had this big building in their entranceway. They wanted to make these pillars that out of skis.
Oh, really?
Which is going to look really cool. So they were buying them in bulk. They were like buying, like, you know, whatever used skis you have that you could just, you're going to, instead of throwing them away, we'll buy them from you for, like, you know, really cheap. So they're like, great. You know, rather than recycle them, we'll give them to you guys and you're going to repurpose them. Same deal. And you pay us a little money. So they collected all these skis and then they wound up losing funding. And they so they couldn't do anything with the skis. So they wound up like collecting all these like old skis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that would have been great to find something like that, because you could have made all sorts of stuff with it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you have a ski house. I mean, crazy.
Yeah. All their furniture is made of skis.
Yeah. Right. Wallpaper instead of wallpaper. Skis. Table. Skis.
Yeah. Why not?
Shot skis. Other like slippers made of skis. You can make everything out of skis. And boards.
True.
Tray boards. You know what I mean? But yeah, so there's a lot of different things. So what to expect? So expect a crowd, expect a mad dash, expect just like being the first one to an estate sale or a garage sale. And that's really it. Just kind of go with it. I mean, the fun part is you can go with friends. You can talk about the ski season, talk about equipment. You talk about the people there, other people buying stuff. You talk to the people running it, and you kind of find out, like, really, you know, what it means to, like, get into, like, the second market of skis and boards and snowblades and monoskis and ski bikes and everything. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a pretty good time. Yeah, the pictures you were sending me and the video, it all looks pretty, like, it was a pretty crazy time.
We saw some nice skis, like, and that's the thing, like, if you find skis that are in your size that are, like, what you're looking for, we find those. Those DPS skis were great.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 450 with the bindings. Like, they were fantastic. They were brand new. They just were demos that sat in a shop or whatever like that. Somebody didn't want them. I got a brand new pair of skis. $150.
Nice, fantastic.
Nice powdery skis that I'm going to ski on this year.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
So, yeah. So, check out your local ski shops and do some research online, because right now is the time when a lot of these places are having their preseason swaps. So check them out. Get out there. Let us know if you have any tips, any advice, or if you found some cool hidden treasures in your journeys.
And sometimes it's a ski shop, and sometimes it's an organization. So, like, at Meadowlands, they're going to have the big one. I think it's Thanksgiving weekend.
No, it's after that. It's like the first week in December.
Or December. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's coming up. So
that's run through a ski shop.
Oh, is it? A big ski shop? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not but it's not at the ski shop. So it's like at... So look around your local area. You might find, like, you know, a lot of different ones going.
Yeah. So, yeah, go out there, check it out in your area. And, again, let us know if you find any hidden treasures and if you have any tips or advice. And we'll mention it on the podcast. You can send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. So, yeah, so for more info, check out skibumpodcast.com. Or you can check us out on Facebook/SkiBum Podcast or Twitter @SkiBum Podcast.
You know what time it is now. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sorry.
That's our sound for Around the Horn.
It is Around the Horn time, where we gather other stories from around the world that we find interesting to share with you guys. So first up, New Jersey man envisions pedestrian bridge linking Jersey City and New York City.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I saw this on the news last week and went online and found some more information about it. So a gentleman in Jersey City named Kevin Shane has dreamed up the concept that joined Jersey City with New York City, and they're calling it the Liberty Bridge. So what it is a 5,000-foot-long, 200-foot-high bridge, which would be open to cyclists and pedestrians that went from Jersey City to New York's Battery Park.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that's not from the area, there's not a real way to, like, walk or, like you from that area into, like, Manhattan.
Yeah, to get from New Jersey into Manhattan, there's several ways to do it. There's the bridge, like the George Washington Bridge, which is $15 to drive across. There's the Lincoln Tunnel, which is also like $14 to drive through.
Well, you take a ferry. GW can walk or run or
there
ride
is a,
over.
There, it's true. Yeah. Up there you can't. But the tunnels you can't.
Yeah.
So the George Washington Bridge, I think gets you in, is it like 120th Street? Somewhere. It's pretty it's pretty much where the Bronx and Manhattan. I mean, it's still Manhattan, but it's, you know, kind of.
Yeah, when you go to tunnel, you go from like Weehawken and Hoboken area to Manhattan, which is like, let me see, 10 miles south of the George Washington, right?
Not quite that far, but no, yeah.
But like, you know, whatever, 5 miles, something like that. But it's not, it's a ways.
And actually, then, you know, it probably is at least 10 miles. You're right.
Yeah, and you can't get over there by, you have to take public transportation or drive.
Yeah, so part of the reason they were looking to do this is because, there's so much congestion getting in now with, you know, car traffic or, you know, the path, which is like the subway from Jersey to Manhattan, ferries. Everything is so crowded. There needs to be some other, you know, alternative route. So this is something they're kind of dreaming up, and they've done, you know, they've hired an architect to design it. It's still in the way, way, way early phases. They're trying to get the governors and the mayor of New York to kind of support it, but it's got a long way to go, but it would be really, really convenient and really free up a lot of the mass transit congestion that there is now.
Yeah, it kind of also, I saw something on Netflix. So Ride the Divide Now. It was a documentary, and they were talking about big cities in the U.S. getting to be like big cities in Europe that accommodate a lot of bikers. And they're saying how like America wasn't really designed for bike traffic, and now urban designers are going into bike traffic because they used Was it Norway? But they used one city in, I believe it was Norway. Norway or Holland. And I think it might have been Amsterdam. And they were showing the traffic back in like the 50s and 60s. And it was just like gridlock traffic. And they decided, they made a big push to allow bicycles, put bicycle lanes in and stuff like that. And, you know, foot traffic. And they said now primarily people get around on bicycles because it, you know, it saved all the congestion. It, you know, it helped a lot with the congestion, the pollution.
Saved with pollution, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pollution was a big deal. And so now they're talking about how, you know, up-and-coming cities in the U.S., like Seattle, you're talking about eventually like New York. And now you're talking about it's easier to do it in surrounding areas surrounding New York than New York. So that's why you can see, like, this is a great idea for accommodating some of that.
Yeah, as someone who lives in that area, I know there's just days that, you know, New York City is so close, but sometimes I just don't want to deal with it because I don't want to take a bus, I don't want to drive in, I don't want to take a subway. Being able to just walk in would be unbelievable. It would be so convenient. It would be great. So, you know, I really hope that somehow they find a way to make this work. And whatever we have to do to help support that, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And it looks really, really cool, too. Because one thing they have to, you know, this is a 5,000-foot-long pedestrian bridge. That's almost a mile. And 200 foot high. That's like a 20-story building. Because they have, Hudson River that they're crossing, there's a lot of commercial boats that go through there. I mean, cruise ships go through there. They dock at Pier 90 or Pier 91 in Manhattan, and they have to be able to fit through there.
Queen Mary 2, battleships during Fleet Week.
Intrepid, you know, aircraft carriers.
It's crazy.
There's all kinds of crazy water traffic that goes through there. So, you know, this is going to be a serious undertaking, and it, you know, I'd actually be pretty amazed if it did happen, but it would be pretty dynamite if it did. So,
yeah.
So we'll post that link if you want to check it out, take a look at the pictures, because the renderings are pretty impressive.
Yeah, I got to find out that that documentary. I don't remember if it's on HBO or Netflix, but it was really cool. Next story. So something in the news that I thought was a pretty big shocker to me on many levels. So Apple, this week they announced they could be facing, well, I don't think Apple announced it, but like the U.S. Government, since they lost a trial, they could be facing up to about $862 million in damages from stealing patents or using patents that University of Wisconsin owns. So the crazy part is I really think this is a result of, hey, you know, let's hire these people right out of college, internship, and hey, what'd you do in college? And they, you know, they bring good stuff with them, but either they don't realize it's patented or they realize it's patented and they're like, well, we'll keep using it until we get caught. And, you know, it's funny reading this article and doing a little more digging. So University of Wisconsin-Madison, they actually sued Intel, settled out of court for technology that they developed. Apple, now they won this. They're waiting for damages to be assessed, which are going to be in the high, almost billion-dollar range, or maybe over. And they
drops
in the bucket, but still it's kind of like, well, I guess maybe you look at it as, you know, we're going to make so much money that like the lawsuit will cost us less in the long run. I don't know. And I think the, University of Wisconsin is thinking about doing another lawsuit on top of this one because they're still using it for the new technology that's coming out. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that really is.
Kind of is a good promotion for University of Wisconsin though. I'm like, wow, if I was a tech guy, I'd want to go there.
Badgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So speaking of not Apple, Swiss watchmaker. So we've talked about watches in the podcast before.
Apple to cheese.
Apple to cheese. you know, we love, you know, watches. And we've talked about it before, how we like, you know, really nice, cool watches. This was something that came out this week that Tag Heuer is unveiling its Android Wear smartwatch next month. So last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, Apple signed a deal with, I don't know, is it Hermes for a leather Apple Watch that's going to be coming out. And now Tag Heuer has come out and they are going to do an Android watch, which they should have coming out in November, which is pretty cool. And this is going to be around $1,800.
Wow.
And they really haven't shown too many, you know, the designs. They're kind of giving like teaser shots of what it's going to look like, kind of giving you the bezel and a little bit of the outside part. But it's still, you know, it's going to be unveiled pretty soon. And it's cool. It's crazy to think that all these famous, well-known luxury watchmakers are now kind of going that digital route, which is kind of cool, you know, because people wondered how disruptive the Apple Watch would be. Because, I mean, you know, we've talked about it. Neither of us are really that jazzed about it.
I'm not jazzed
really
about
interested.
It, but if they partnered it with a real watchmaker like Tag, now I'm on board.
Yeah.
That's where I think this seems to have teeth more than like Apple coming out with, hey, you're going to buy it because it's Apple? No, it's a watch. If you're going to sell me a watch, I want a real watch from a real watchmaker, not a tech company.
Yeah, so now you're getting kind of that mix of both. So if you're an Android fan and you're a watch fan, this Tag Heuer connected Android watch could be pretty cool. It might be worth checking out. So, yeah. You know, we'll keep you posted. We're going to keep tabs on this story. Check it out, see what it's like, and hopefully we can get our hands on one, because that would be really cool to play with and see. And I guess, too, you must have an Android device to use it. I guess that's the one kind of sucky thing if you're an Apple user.
That could be a game changer. If, you know, Apple was banking on the watch, or they came out with the watch because everybody else was coming out with these little, you know, watch devices, like devices. And
yeah.
If this is something that people are more attractive to, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I gotta be honest, the Apple Watch is kind of lame. Like, there's just...
I know people that have bought it and, like, gotten rid of it. Like,
I haven't heard anyone who's gone, this thing is so awesome, I don't know how I lived without it. You know, like there's, it's just.
I had a friend that was very big into it and was just like, he had to go out and get it right when it first came out. He was on the waiting list, everything.
Total Apple fanboy or?
Total Apple fanboy. Was like, I got to get it. He really thought in his heart of hearts that this was going to be the big thing, next big thing. And he's very big into like technology and like innovation. Like, he actually works for a company that does innovation. He's in the innovation group. So he's like all big into it. Gets it. He's like, within a month, he sold it on eBay. He's like, I hated it.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to carry two things around now instead of one.
You know, I'm sure it'll be better the next versions.
And it was an Apple Watch. It wasn't a watch.
Yeah, just.
I don't know.
We'll see how the it's cool seeing the real watchmakers come out and see if they're going to make it more compelling of a device.
Yeah, I think that's eventually going to happen, but.
Because again, like I said, I've used an iPod Nano, the one they made in, I think, 2010 it came out, the little square one. I got the band for it. I'm on my third one now. I love it for the gym. I mean, I don't really wear it around generally. Once in a while, I will.
Now, when did that come out?
2010.
So you're looking at something.
I'm on my third one now.
Your third one.
They have a new version of the Nano out that I don't find interesting in any way, shape, or form. I like that one. It doesn't have Bluetooth, which it should. It doesn't have Wi-Fi, which would be nice.
Well, that was when they stopped it's producing super rudimentary. In 2010, right?
No, they started it in 2010. I think maybe 2012, 2013, they came out with the new Nano design.
I thought it was earlier than that, really.
No. They had it for at least 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, but it's very hot on eBay. I've actually looked.
And it's I'm not like, as bad now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the watch is out. So, but yeah, like again, yeah, we'll see how this goes, and we'll see what other watchmakers start coming out with their own. It's maybe crazy. a little Omega. Amiga watch action, Rolex.
Yeah.
We'll see. Breitling, perhaps.
Come out with a Breitling. I'm in. I'm all in.
That's your jam?
It's my jam.
You and John Travolta.
Me and John Travolta. We're on Breitling.
Spirit in the sky.
The Aviator, man.
Yep.
Love that watch. So next thing I want to talk about is something pretty disturbing on YouTube, but you got to watch it. If you're from the area, if you're not from the area, live near a big city, they have a video of, in Brooklyn, a rat takes down a pigeon. Now, I don't know. The pigeon must have been, like, looking for food or whatever, and the rat was probably looking for food, and then the rat thought he found food in the pigeon. So, like, he texts his pigeon, and somebody gets it on their smartphone. It's crazy because, you know, a lot of viral videos, they show, like, rats or pigeons going for, like, pizza. So the joke was, like, yeah, it wasn't pizza this time. It was a rat getting a pigeon for pizza. It was crazy. So
did the pigeon get pizza before? Because you know how if you go hunting and if you hunt an animal that just had like berries, it tastes better.
Oh.
They say like bear. Like if you're going to hunt bear, you want a bear that has eaten blueberries, not a bear that's been eating salmon. Otherwise, it'll be fishy versus kind of like a little bit fruity.
Could be.
Yeah. So if the pigeon ate pizza, ipso facto, the rat is eating pizza via the pigeon.
From the pigeon. Exactly.
It's like pigeon-flavored pizza for him.
Yes.
Really?
It's like, I'll take my pizza with extra pigeon.
And I think rats think of that as almost like we think of buffalo chicken pizza.
Oh, it's like a buffalo chicken rat pizza.
It's a pigeon pizza.
Pigeon pizza.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a little in-depth on the pizza rat thing.
I'm just saying.
But actually, part of this, like, you know, some of the comments I saw were like, rats, a lot of people take video of rats eating pizza. They think it's funny. Like, oh, yeah, you throw a thing and there's a sewer rat that comes out. I mean, I've been in the city, like, the fucking rats are terrifying.
They're fucking disgusting.
And they're giant. They're like, their size are like little cats.
They don't give a fuck.
They're bigger than a kitten.
Yeah.
They're a lot bigger.
They're monsters.
Than a kitten. And then every once in a while, you get this, what they call an alpha rat. Now, anybody that doesn't live in the city or near the big city, it is terrifying because they are like feral rats that will like hiss and attack like people. And you're terrified of them already. And they're just like, it's kind of like a cartoon, like, yeah, you're going to fuck with me? I'm out here, you know? Come on, let's go. Somebody, let's fight. You know what I mean? It's an alpha rat. It wants to be the alpha in, you know, out of everything it sees. It's crazy.
And how did the bubonic plague start again?
Fleas on the rats. Wasn't the rat.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe this version is going to be rats that are going to start the next big plague or virus.
The funny thing, people get all freaked out. They're like, oh my God, the rat was rabid. I'm like, no, the rat's not rabid. It's just an alpha rat. It's a crazy,
this is an angry New York City rat.
It's the Tuco of rats.
The Tuco of rats. The Donald Trump of rats.
Yeah. Tuco Salamanca of rats.
It's the most luxurious rat there is.
It is the boss of rats.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is a crazy, crazy video.
Check out the gross ass video, yeah.
It is pretty gruesome. If you don't want to see it, I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah, it's something. So next up. So again, you know, we talked about our delicious sip of sunshine before. We're bringing it back to Vermont here. One of our favorite rye whiskeys, Whistle Pig, is now opening a new distillery in Shoreham, Vermont.
Boom.
So they just opened yesterday their new distillery to make Whistle Pig, one of the few American whiskey companies to conduct the entire whiskey making process in one place, from harvesting the rye fields to distilling, barreling, aging, and bottling the liquid.
Nice.
And they have, you know, special tours can be, you know, specially set up on an appointed basis.
And so now last year we polished off two or three bottles of Whistle Pig came out. It was really expensive, but they came out with a special Vermont edition of Whistle Pig. And I think it had a little bit higher alcohol content, a little bit different flavor. It was really good. It was like 70, 80 bucks a bottle.
Good, yeah.
But it was delicious. And I think we polished off like three bottles of it. I still have a little bit. I have like a third of a bottle left. So I'm wondering if they're going to make that version, continue to make that version, because it's really good.
They might. Yeah, so originally, and they've been talking about it, they got their whiskey and they, you know, they were got it and they bottled it from Canadian, you know, rye. And they always talk about being a Vermont whiskey, which was always a little bit strange. So, you know, for the past 5 years, they've been working to transform themselves and their farm into the nation's premier single estate grain to glass rye distillery.
So they're still a Canadian company then?
Well, I mean, now I think they're pretty much a Vermont company because they're growing and doing all of the whole process in Vermont.
But is this the same car argument people have with Honda? You produce in the U.S., but you're a foreign company.
Everything is global now.
I'm just saying. It doesn't matter. Saying.
No, but now, again, like I said, now that they're actually growing the rye, processing it, you know, distilling, barreling, aging, it's all happening in Vermont.
Profits
at
go
this
to Canada.
Particular farm. Not anymore.
Profits go to Canada.
It's all going to Vermont.
Goes to the home company.
Unless you're calling Vermont Canada.
Well, if they're owned by Canadians.
Which, how dare you? Not anymore.
They're owned by Canada.
No, they're not. You silly bastard. What are you talking about?
Where's their home?
It's America, man. America. So, yeah, if you haven't tried Whistle Pig and you are a...
It's delicious.
Now, it's not a bourbon. It's a rye whiskey, which is a little bit different. And if you have never tried it, it's worth it. It's really, really tasty, really, really rich and flavorful. And it's it packs a bit of a punch, but it's super smooth.
It doesn't have that peaty taste, which I don't like in whiskeys.
No, it has that kind of spicy rye taste to it,
yeah.
which is awesome.
Which I like.
Yeah. So Whistle Pig.
And we know that from our Scratch and Sniff book that just came in.
Oh, yeah. If you see the picture that we posted on Facebook and Twitter, you can get a little glimpse of our Scratch and Sniff whiskey book, which describes, you know, all the different types of flavors that you'll pick up when you're...
The flavors and scents and what it means to be like a spicy...
Woody, grainy, toasty, cinnamony, caramelly, oceany.
And it kind of tells you, like, where the fragrance and flavor comes from.
Yeah.
Like, does it, certain flavors come from the wood they use? Certain flavors come from the grain they use? So it's kind of, or the mix of the grain and the rye and corn. And pretty interesting little book.
Yeah, fantastic. So thank you again to the kind soul who purchased it off of our Amazon wish list.
We did get a gift card.
Ooh.
And it actually says... hey, ski bums, enjoy your gift from Winter.
Oh.
Winter sent us this gift.
Winter, you are far too kind.
Like, I've heard of Santa Claus, we have Winter.
Like Father Winter?
It must be just Winter.
Like Father Christmas?
Because Winter's coming, not Father, just Winter's coming.
Oh, okay. So we can thank Winter by skiing over his face.
Exactly.
Well, or her face.
It's all Winter.
Yeah.
It's all, like the air, the snow, it's all part of Winter.
Ah, I like it.
So we're skiing in Winter.
So we're maybe skiing over its face or it's massaging its naughty bits. We don't even know.
I think it's massaging the naughty
we
bits.
We don't even know. Oh, yeah.
Fancy the twig and berries.
Fancy the twig and berries. All right.
So I put a link on this week's outline because there were some hoverboard fails that were really great to look at.
Now, hoverboard, that word has been thrown around, and we had that Lexus hoverboard video,
which that was like a real hoverboard,
yes. Like Back to the Future 2, where there's ground, and then there's air, and there's a board. These new things, they call them hoverboards, but they're almost like Segways with no stick.
Yes. It's like a little tiny mini Segway.
Almost like a...
I call it mini-way.
Yeah, it's almost like a giant gas pedal with wheels.
So while they look great when somebody's going on them that knows how to keep their balance...
That's coordinated.
It looks very elegant. You're like, wow, that's really cool looking. They're very handy or whatever. But these hoverboard fails are just people crashing on these hoverboards because, you know, it does take some skill, technique, and a little bit of fitness to kind of jump on a hoverboard. It's not a rascal. It's not a, you know, something like that, a scooter that you just jump on and go. Like, you really have to think about it. And some of these people, I think, broke some stuff.
Yeah, and they're pretty nasty. Like, and the best ones are the ones for people who they have, like, have it down, they're in control, they're having a good time, and then all of a sudden it just turns and they just fall on their
very
asses.
Quickly just goes a different way.
Yeah, I don't know how people haven't been, you know, sued for that at this point, you know, like
I'm wondering when the lawsuits are gonna
there's gotta or you maybe when you buy it you gotta sign some waiver like, hey, whatever happens to you ain't got
America,
nothing to do with us anymore.
Everybody sues for everything.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Bunch of litigious bastards.
I mean, you know, it works as designed. You're just not coordinated enough or skilled enough to use it. Then that's all on you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
All right, so last we got George St. Pierre.
Last story, GSP, quote-unquote, training hard and starting to get the feeling to come back. So George St. Pierre, if you're not familiar, he was one of the greatest UFC, is he middleweight or welterweight? I always forget.
Say one of the greatest ever.
He was in 170-pound class.
Young guy, they're saying he's one of the greatest ever, right?
Yeah, he was one of the greatest, and he retired roughly 2 years ago. He won a split decision, retained the title, and retired.
It was like that night, right? After the fight?
He had a serious injury before he'd come back, and he actually got hit in the last two fights more than he had in all of his previous fights combined.
Wow.
Which was probably like 20-some fights. And he was, you know, he was really concerned, too, about the amount of drugs that were going on in the UFC and the lack of testing. So now the UFC has come up with this really strict testing policy. And I guess it's getting him kind of fired up a bit more to get back into it and, you know, claim what's his and try to get his title back. But, yeah, it's still it hasn't been official yet. I mean, he's 34, which is, you know, one of those ages where in Ultimate Fighting, it seems like that's kind of the age you need to be at to understand how everything works.
That's the Ultimate Fighting age he's going to break a hip?
Probably not.
Somebody's going to throw him down the stairs.
Probably not.
He's going to fall and he won't be able to get up. That kind of thing.
Yeah, he's saying he's fighting. And, you know, again, if he came back, he would be one of the top two or three biggest stars in the whole game. So it'll be interesting to see if he does make it back or not. Because he was one of the biggest pay-per-view draws. He was an amazing fighter, fun to watch. And, yeah, all we can do is pretty much hang back and see and wait. Because
The top guy in UFC right now?
That depends. It's probably Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She's the most well-known, the most famous.
She's the number one, right?
The biggest draw in pay-per-views. Her or Conor McGregor. Those two are the ones that are bringing in the big...
Conor McGregor took a beating in his last fight. He fought the guy he wasn't supposed to fight, right?
Chad Mendes, yeah. And he's supposed to fight Aldo now in December.
Aldo has another problem.
Which is always possible. He did pass a drug test, though.
He might eventually wind up fighting George St. Pierre.
No, they're way too different in weight class.
Joking.
McGregor's in 145, so he's way...
What's St. Pierre?
170.
Wow.
So that's... Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
He could drop the weight. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I don't want to be doing that. So, yeah, it's UFC's pretty interesting right now. If you guys haven't checked it out, it's worth grabbing one of these pay-per-views. The Ronda Rousey one is going to happen in November the 14th. And she's just head and shoulders above everyone else. I mean, she is one of the most unreal
Who's
athletes.
She fighting?
Holly Holm, who is a
Sounds like a porn star name. Sorry, I had to say it.
You didn't have to, but you did.
I had to.
No, you didn't. Oh, you didn't have to.
Really? That's your real name?
You really didn't have to, but you know, you went there, so we're going to run with that.
I'm afraid to like Google her because I'm going to get like some
porn virus. She's a pretty amazing boxer, and there's this really cool... They did this really cool trailer for the fights where they're showing, you know, these Holly Holm as like a 16-year-old in church with a black eye. And Ronda Rousey is like an 11-year-old, you know, little girl and, you know, going to martial arts training classes, going to judo classes. It's pretty cool. It's a
pretty good matchup.
Yes and no. I mean, Ronda is just, she's just so good. You know, she has the full arsenal of tools, while Holly Holm, she's a fantastic boxer, but they're not sure if she really has all the other pieces that are necessary to take on someone like Ronda, who's just an unreal, just super dedicated, nothing's going to stop her athlete.
Well, they both look good, let's put it that way.
But, you know, they're going to have to duke it out to see who really is the champ.
Yeah. I tell you, some of the women UFC fights are better than some of the men's.
Lately they have been, yeah. And that pay-per-view, too, is crazy because both the top fights are the women's championship fights.
Wow.
Yeah. The strawweight and the bantamweight.
Nice. I noticed the FanDuel and the DraftKings, they're all doing, like, you pick UFC. I was like...
Oh, they are? Yeah.
I was like, wow. It's pretty simple, too. You just pick the winner of, like, the whole card rather than, like, they had hockey on there and you're picking positions. I'm like, yeah, I don't know
how that's to do that. That's too involved.
Yeah. This is just pick the winners, which makes it interesting, you know?
Yeah. Cool. So we got anything else, or is that pretty much all the news and stories we have?
That's all I got today.
Yeah, I just, you know, we have all these other stories, but it's just the whole thought that resorts are opening this weekend.
It just threw us off.
So awesome.
Threw me off.
My brain's just going snow. There's a sea of white. That's all it is right now.
All the notes I made from today's podcast, during the podcast, were all about, like, ski bum weekend.
He says, all work and no ski makes Mario a dull boy.
That's right. And Red Rum, a bunch of
Red Rum.
Which is another snow movie. Love it.
Yeah.
Shining snow movie.
Technically, it's a ski movie.
It is.
Almost, right?
It is. Actually, one of my buddies said he knows where that place is. I got to find out where
it is. Colorado, isn't it?
Yeah, and he actually knew somebody that worked up there. Not over the winter, like that crate, you know.
Yeah.
You got that shine.
Worked around there, and yeah, he said it's in the middle of nowhere. It really is.
Yeah, I bet. All right, so thank you everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. If you could, please go to iTunes and download, subscribe, and rate us. For everything else, you know where to go, skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook/skibumpodcast or Twitter @skibumpodcast, or send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Like we said, Killington opening Sunday for pass holders, Monday for the general public, Mad River opening Monday, Warren Miller chasing shadows, Morristown, New Jersey, November 6th. Lots of big things happening. We're getting fired up. It's getting close. So we will talk to you guys next week.
Get ready to get out there and stay high, stay blue.
See ya.